Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Awesome to be with you. 7 o'clock hour here on Sports Open Line. Kevin Wheeler hanging tight with you. We will have a little bit of a show tomorrow night. We have a half an hour before we get to some basketball. It'll be the Billikens women's team tomorrow at 6:45. So we'll take you up until that pregame starts. On Thursday, you got the Billikens on the road at UMass at 6 o'clock. So no Sports Open Line that night. And we'll have another one coming up on Friday. So this hour, I want to jump around a little bit. I want to get some football in here, continue the NFL playoff conversation in this segment. Next segment, I'm going to start diving in on where Yadier Molina ranks all time. It's not an easy thing because where you're going to get a lot of fight is with guys that had better offensive numbers, right? Guys like Buster Posey get a little bit more love because, oh, look, they're better hitters. Like, yeah, okay, but that's, to me, the offense from a catcher is a lot less significant than the defense. And that's probably not true for any other position. Maybe shortstop. Maybe. But even there, I don't think so. Because the number of offensive opportunities in a game usually isn't all that different than the number of defensive opportunities at a regular position. But obviously with catcher, it's a little bit more. We'll get to that and we'll start to sort out what range he belongs in. I'm not 100% sure I have a spot locked in, but I've definitely got a range for Molina on the all-time list. This segment, I want to get to the NFL playoffs. I mean, first of all, I already touched on the blowouts from this weekend. Not going to go back into those, except I want to get into the Dallas game because of the way that the Cowboys game ended on Sunday. This was a game, you know, the Cowboys were favorites. They were at home. You know, they're always going to get a lot more attention than they deserve because they're the damn Cowboys. But they lost to the 49ers at home by one score. The clock ran out on them on the final play. And, of course, Cowboys fans, including some of the people in the Cowboys organization, starting with their cornerback, wanted to blame it on the officials for not getting the ball set fast enough. And the reality is it's on everybody but the officials. Like, I mean, first of all, I'm trying to focus on this because it irritates me to no end. If you're going to complain about officiating having an effect on the outcome of a game, you need to have taken care of your business before you can ever look at the impact that the referees had. And the Cowboys didn't. They had 14 penalties in the game, and they were the second most penalized team in the regular season, too. They're an undisciplined team, and they have been all year. So that bit them in the ass over the course of the game against the Niners. They couldn't run the football. They didn't. Their running backs were averaging like 3 yards a carry. Their longest carry of the game was on that last play that they got to run, which was a quarterback draw up the middle because the 49ers didn't put any defenders down the middle of the field. And I will get to that in a minute because they did that clearly on purpose. Dak Prescott himself barely completed more than 50% of his passes. He completed 53% of his passes. And in the modern NFL, that's not okay. That's not a good enough game. So they didn't do anything at all game long to give themselves the best chance to win the game. But with 14 seconds left, you're in Hail Mary territory, right? You're on the positive side of the field. You're on the positive 40. So you're in range. You got 14 seconds left. You've got no timeouts left. Now, if you guys watched the game, you saw how San Francisco lined up, right? They had all of their guys, the defensive backs on the field, the linebackers. I think they basically took out the linebackers and just put all kinds of DBs in there. But they were all lined up along the sideline. It's a formation called picket fence. They don't want anybody throwing a pass near the sideline. They're okay with everything down the middle because they had a layer of defense at the back end of that where the safeties were. In other words, they were inviting the Cowboys to do exactly what they did, which is run a play up the middle and run the clock because they had no timeouts. So Dallas, seeing this formation, is like, oh, we can gain a bunch of yards just by calling a quarterback draw. It's 5-on-3 at the line of scrimmage, and there are no defenders in the middle of the field. We'll gain yards. Yes, you will. But you're not going to have enough time to run two plays with 14 seconds left. Even if everything goes perfectly, you might have 1 second if it goes perfectly. And if anything goes wrong with either your guys or the officials, and something went wrong with both of them, you're not going to get another play off. You're much better off taking two shots into the end zone from the 40 than you are running 15 yards and then getting one shot from the 25. I mean, throwing a 40-yard pass is not that big of a deal. Take two shots at it. They're both low-percentage plays. You're not winning the game at that point. I mean, it takes a rare play to do it. But we're in a spot here where, you know, I don't know why they wanted to take the risk of the clock running out the way that it did, but Dak Prescott ran too far. He should have run, you know, 7-8 yards and gotten down, and he should have gotten up and handed the ball to the official, which he did not do. And the rest of the team wasn't fast enough getting lined up where they needed to be lined up. But yet we're going to complain about the referee not doing things fast enough or, you know, bumping into a player as he's trying to get the hell out of the way, when in the reality is, your team needs to be smarter. And by the way, you should never have put yourself in that position to begin with, but you need to be smarter than that. Learn how time passes. Learn how to manage a clock. And this is why I have a proposal for the NFL. And I will extend this proposal to college football coaches as well, because we see this on Saturdays all season long too. Every one of these head football coaches and play callers, so let's call the coordinators into this too, should be required to spend 200 to 250 hours playing Madden during the offseason. I know that sounds ridiculous, right? Like, why would you play a video game? Because you need to learn to manage the clock. There were 10-year-olds watching the Cowboys game against the Niners, and they were yelling at their TVs going, you don't have enough time to run the football. You're going to run out. I knew it. I've never played or coached a game in my life. But I can do math, and I understand how the clock works. And I don't know what it is, but these coaches freeze or panic, or they just don't know because they haven't done it enough. There aren't enough opportunities in a season to get really good at these types of things. You should have to do it on a simulator. You should have to do it on Madden. I mean, look, pilots work their way toward flying jetliners and fighter jets by flying simulators. You don't just get to jump right in and start doing it for real. You gotta learn how first. You do things in the virtual world so that when you get it wrong, it doesn't ruin anything. And in their case, nobody dies. In a football coach's case, you should learn how to manage these things. And I'm not saying they should just play random games or play a bunch of, I'm gonna go play online and play a bunch of 12-year-olds. Like, no. Honest to God, if you're a smart organization, why wouldn't you want to make your coaches do the same kind of improving in the offseason that your players do? Players have projects in the offseason that they're going to work on. Some quarterbacks are going to work on their footwork to get their mechanics right. You know, others are going to get in a little bit better shape, or they're going to work on their agility or their flexibility or whatever. Why are coaches exempt from that? Why shouldn't they do real-time work that they can do? And I would recommend it not be an actual video game that's sold to the public. I would say that the NFL should invest in creating a simulation where you can program situations in and have your coaches do them in real time in the simulator. Maybe it's in virtual reality. Maybe it's a VR thing. Maybe it is just playing some Madden. I'm only half kidding about that. Because everybody that I know that has ever played Madden, a bunch of my friends play. We're like texting each other like, how stupid can Mike McCarthy be? You know you don't have enough time. Everybody watching knows you don't have enough time to run the football there. Unless you think you're going to run that ball into the end zone from 40 yards out. If you think you can do that, well, then you run it. It's really not that complicated. Apparently it is, though, because we watch coaches get it wrong literally all the time. I mean, it happens all the time. Don't know when to call a timeout and when not. So it's funny, they all blow a timeout in the first quarter to avoid a 5-yard penalty, right? It'll be like second and four, and they're going to, you know, it's going to be the game clock's going to expire. You're going to get a delay of game. Like, timeout, timeout! But you don't know how to run the end of a half or the end of the game. First of all, don't waste them on that. Take the 5 yards. It's not that big of a deal. 5 yards in the first quarter is not going to kill you. Not having a timeout at the end of the half, or not having a timeout, let's say you made that same call in the third quarter, not having the timeout in the final minute of a game can be a huge difference maker, as we see. Okay, aside from my offering to help the NFL, I did want to look ahead briefly at this weekend. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I do want to look ahead and get this briefly. I think we've got an amazing set of matchups this weekend, and Vegas agrees. The biggest spread, point spread, in the games coming up in the divisional round is Green Bay and San Fran in Green Bay, and the Packers are 5.5-point favorites. That's the biggest spread this weekend. Bengals and Titans is 3.5. And I think that's a coin flip. I actually kind of like the Bengals. I don't know. I really like Joe Burrow. We'll see how it goes, but I really like Joe Burrow. The Rams and the Buccaneers, Bucks are 3-point favorites. Kansas City's a 2-point favorite. Like, so for all the whining about bad matchups, they shouldn't have put too many teams in. Well, you know, look at what you get in the divisional round. You get all the best teams that you thought would be here to begin with, right? With maybe a surprise or two. All right, let's change gears. I want to talk a little bit about catchers. This will be pretty quick. I'm not going to get in too much depth here. This is kind of a scene setter because I'm going to write about this for KMOX.com. I'm going to talk about it more at a future date. But where do we place Yachty on the all-time list of great catchers? Is he top 10? Top 15? Top 20? Top 25? Where does he fall when you compare him to everybody else? I don't have an exact number yet, but we'll get to the range he belongs in coming up next on KMOX.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Right, back in on Sports Open Line on Tuesday night. I'm going to squeeze a little baseball in here. We're going to do some college football in just a bit. I want to hear from we're going to hear from Gary Pinkel. You know, I wanted to get to this last week. Didn't really have a chance to. Ronji and I just, we get carried away. We have a little bit too much fun sometimes. So I do want to play the conversation that Tom Ackerman had with Gary Pinkel. We didn't get to it yet, and I do want to get to that. So we'll play a little bit of that coming up here in just a few minutes. And, you know, again, Gary Pinkel going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Clearly somebody that's going to be remembered for a very long time at the University of Missouri. Not just there, too. Obviously, he had a good run at Toledo before that. But what we all know is the run at Mizzou, and it was pretty fantastic. All right, let's talk catchers here. And this is just kind of a primer segment, right? I've been taking on projects for myself, baseball-related projects for myself, trying to go a little deeper on some things that might be fun to write about for the website, for KMOX.com, or to talk about here on the show. And I've been working on them for a few days. I'll be working on them more in the coming days. And I'm not finished yet, but I'm working on a list of the top 20 catchers of all time. With the idea here, and this came up yesterday on the Glover Show, like where does Yadi fit? Somebody asked me, where does he fit? Where would you rank him amongst the all-time catchers? I'm like, that's a good question. Like, I don't think it's very difficult to say that he's one of the three or four best defensive catchers of all time. The numbers back that up, whatever numbers you want to look at. You want to look at Gold Gloves? He's right there. Johnny Bench, Pudge Rodriguez, Yadier Molina. You want to look at defensive wins above replacement? Molina's right there. There's only one player in baseball history with more defensive wins above replacement than Yadier Molina. Actually, yeah, there's one, and that's Ivan Rodriguez. So there are a lot of ways to look at it. Now, I would say without question, based on what we can measure, and I know you can't measure everything about catching. It's to me, it's one of the most difficult things about coming to judgments about this particular position, because it's hard to measure defense accurately, because so far I've not seen a number that quantifies defensive performance by catchers that includes the difficulty that comes with having to manage every inning of every game when you play. There are about 145, 150 pitches thrown by each team in a major league game. Guess who's calling every one of those? I think you could probably guess, right? You know, in the Cardinals' case, it's Yadier Molina. So you've got the strategy side of this. You've got to have somebody that's tied in with your pitchers that can, you know, not only understand what the game plan is, but adjust as the game goes along, depending on what kind of stuff your pitcher has that day, or depending on what maybe a hitter is doing differently today than he did the last time you faced him. These are all things that have to be managed in real time by a catcher, including controlling the running game, blocking pitches in the dirt, directing traffic when the ball's put in play. That's part of a catcher's job, is to direct traffic on defense. All of that, to me, weighs more than offense. If I had to weigh what matters more for a catcher, offense versus defense. It's clearly defense. Where do they impact the game? So think about it as a hitter. The average hitter is going to get, like, what is it, 3.8 plate appearances per game? I think that's the number, 3.7, 3.8 plate appearance. Let's just call it four. You're going to have four at-bats a game. How many of those even matter in the like to the directly to the outcome of the game? Now, they all matter, right? They all add up over time. But it's still only four at-bats. But you've got to be alert and a part of the action on every pitch when your team is in the field. You're a part of it. You're not just observing it. And look, you know, ground ball hit to a shortstop, he might get a few of those a game. You have to be involved on every pitch as a catcher. So to me, we need to weight defense more for catchers than we have in history. And I don't just look at that for Molina, by the way. That affects how I rank a whole lot of other guys when it comes to this list too. Now, what I've done so far is I've created my top 20 catchers. I think I have the guys that I want in there. And I've got them broken down into three categories right now, and I'm hoping to finish this up tomorrow. I've got the obvious ones. You know, there's about six, seven, eight, nine guys that are obvious to me. They need to be in the top, and it's a combination of offense and defense and their place in history and, you know, what they did during their careers. And it's relative to when you played too. Then there's another group of about seven or eight people that, boy, it's not easy to sort after that. Like that group, there's a lot of arguments to be made about who should go where and how they should be ranked. And then I got another few that are guys that either were too extreme on one side or the other when it came to their performance, like not league average offensively or not good enough defensively. Or, let's be honest, a guy like Joe Mauer who only played half his career as a catcher. How much do I want to give him credit for being a catcher when you only play half your career as a catcher? I know it wasn't his fault. I know he had to switch because of concussions. But it's still, you know, only half your career. It's a tough call. So the top guys that are obvious that go in the elite category, no question about Johnny Bench, and I think most people view him, and I think accurately, as the best catcher of all time. Pudge Rodriguez is right there. I think to me, those are the top two when you combine offensive and defensive achievements. They're both tremendous catchers. They both had outstanding offensive careers. Although, I'll tell you know, Pudge Rodriguez's offensive career, not quite as awesome as you might think. I mean, it's way better than Yadi. You know, it's a pretty big difference. But it's, you know, some of the numbers were not quite what I thought they were. But he was the best defensive catcher according to defensive war. He's the best of all time, according to Gold Gloves, you know, right there too. So you got those two guys, I think, as the top guys. But there's a group there that's close. You got Yogi Berra, who played most of his career behind the plate, was not only a great clutch hitter, but, I mean, just a legitimate dude as a hitter. And he was an okay defensive player. He was not, by any means, a shaky defender. He wasn't a great one, but he was pretty solid. You got Carlton Fisk. Got to throw him in there. Again, awesome defensive catcher, played for a long time, hit for power, you know, one of the all-time leaders when it comes to home runs for catchers. I think he's third on the home run list for catchers. He's definitely in that top group. Again, right now I'm not listing in any order. I'm just kind of throwing the guys out there. Gary Carter is definitely top five, maybe top three. I mean, he's got the offense and the defensive chops to be in there. Mike Piazza does not have the defensive numbers. He had 1.5 defensive war in his career. So, didn't really help you a whole lot there. But his bat was so elite. Even in an era where numbers were crazy, his numbers were even better. Like, he was amazing. So he's in this conversation. I got to put Josh Gibson in this. I mean, it's hard because he doesn't have major league numbers. Some of this is, you know, believing the history books. Some of this is believing some of the stories that are told about him and then looking at his numbers in the Negro Leagues and how did that relate to the major leagues. I think we got to put Josh Gibson in this conversation in the top 10. Unless everybody from back in the day was full of it. And I don't believe that for a second. Then you've got a couple of guys that are older school, like Bill Dickey of the Yankees, Roy Campanella from the Dodgers, who had big, you know, for the time in their career, big bats, obviously the defensive reputations. Campanella's numbers could have been even better if he had been able to break into the major leagues younger. I think his first full major league season was when he was 26, 27 years old. Like, that's my top group right there. And I haven't ranked them in order yet, but it's not that hard once you get there. Then we've got the next group, and I think Yadi's in this next group. You know, I think Thurman Munson is in this group. He's not in the Hall of Fame, but he should be. Bill Freehan is not in the Hall of Fame, but he should be. He's in this next group. Ted Simmons is in this group. Yadi, Gabby Hartnett, who's a Hall of Famer, Mickey Cochran, who's a Hall of Famer. To me, that's the next group. So how do we sort this? It's a good question. And then I think after those guys, it's a group that includes Buster Posey, Joe Mauer, Jorge Posada, guys like that. I'm going to try to sort this out and post it tomorrow at KMOX.com, and maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow night on Sports Open Line in advance of the Billikens women's game. But yeah, I think right now I'm looking at Molina somewhere between 10 and 15. Top 10, you know, number 10 and number 15 all time. Because, again, I weight defense more than most. And when you're one of the top two or three defensive catchers of all time, I don't think it's that hard to argue that you finished in the top 15 all time and maybe even at the very end of the top 10. All right, coming up next, we're going to shift gears. I want you to hear a little bit from soon-to-be College Football Hall of Famer Gary Pinkel, his conversation with Tom Ackerman when we come back on KMOX.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
There's a high fly ball.
Welcome back to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And it's a gutter.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm. Because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
And the Billikens win this one.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, I meant to get to this last week, but I do want to get to it now. This of course, is Gary Pinkel being selected to the College Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, I think he's an interesting example of, you know, how difficult it is to make a jump to a place that doesn't have the longest winning history, right? I mean, you know, Mizzou's had some good years in the past, but, you know, they don't have, let's just be nice. They don't have a lot of championships, a lot of trophies. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying it's been a tough place to come and win. And, you know, I think Pinkel shows how important it is to be patient. And I know it's hard to be patient in the modern world with criticism and social media and all that stuff. But, you know, the Missouri Tigers didn't really take off under Gary Pinkel until 2007. Now, he had some pretty good years before that. He had a couple of 8-5 years, a 7-5 year. But he was pretty close to a 500 coach in his time with Mizzou before 2007. But keep in mind that before he got there, they had only gone to two bowl games between 1984 and 2000. So they went to two bowl games. By the way, it was 97 and 98. Went to two bowl games in a 16-year span. So he was not coming into a good situation, and he got the time necessary to build what became a really strong team. And he had a nice run from 07 until 2014. Obviously, 2015 was a down year, and he retired after that. But what he's done is was brilliant, and I think it makes the point that you do need to give these guys some time. Well, last week when the news came out, Tom Ackerman had a chance to sit down with Coach Pinkel to talk a bit about the journey. Toledo, Mizzou, and obviously now being chosen for the College Football Hall of Fame.
What a treat always to talk to Gary Pinkel, the winningest coach in Mizzou football history, and now I can say a College Football Hall of Famer. Coach, congratulations. What a great honor, and I'm sure what a great moment for you to be informed that you are going to be in the 2022 class of the College Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, thank you. It was very overwhelming for me for a few days almost. Something that I thought our programs and what we had done is worthy of it, but sometimes that isn't enough to get you there. So didn't really give it much thought, but when it happened, it was just huge, and to this day, to this moment, it is too. And there's just a lot of people that have a lot to do with being a part of this whole thing, and coaches and players and, administrators and all these people part of our team. And so I'm very blessed and feel very fortunate. I loved coaching, and, I loved kind of, leaving a mark a little bit that someone else can grab and move and make things better themselves.
And you always have had such a great appreciation for those who came before you and a great respect for many, many of those names that will be alongside you in the College Football Hall of Fame. And I know that one name that I'm sure crossed your mind within the first few seconds of receiving that honor was Don James, Coach, that somebody that you absolutely looked up to through your life.
Yeah, he has such a huge impact on me as a captain for him. You go back in time, a guy named Jack Lambert, who's in the Hall of Fame for football, NFL Hall of Fame, Steelers championships. He was a part of that team. Nick Saban was a part of that team. And Don James came in and did at Kent State what you can't do. You can't do what he did at Kent State. And it hasn't really been done. They're doing a little bit better now, which is good. But we won the first championship in the history of the school, went to the Tangerine Bowl. And I would eventually work for him at Washington. And, that's kind of what I used to tell recruits when we were going to St. Louis or Kansas City. It's like here comes another head football coach in here recruiting. And you guys been the last four or five didn't work out very well. Aren't winning hardly at all. Too many seasons, 17 years. And so our story was this, and then I'd try to get him to believe this. The story was I'd go in, and I'd go into a family, and I'd say, okay, I'm going to tell you why this is going to win, okay? Because you've heard Missouri coaches say, I'm going to tell you why this is going to be different. Number one, I'm going to go to Kent State University, and I back up 50 whatever years it was at the time. And I'm there, like we just talked about, with Jack Lambert, Don James, my mentor, Don James, and he did it at Kent State, which you can't do. He won a championship. You can't do it. He goes to Washington, takes that work to Kent State, took it to Seattle, Washington, and he's in the College Football Hall of Fame right now too. Won a national championship in 2001. Was really three championships, and I worked for him for 12 years. So I'm taking that program that worked at Kent State, that worked in Seattle, Washington, and now I'm dropping it in Toledo. Well, can it win there? Yes, it did. We won championships there. We were undefeated in 1995. And my last year, they were 10-1, and we beat at Penn State. So, and then I look at the parents and say, okay, the young man, I look at him and say, okay, this is, so you understand why we're going to win? Because what happened with Kent State, it worked. It worked at Washington, it worked at Toledo, and guess where it's going to work right now? It's going to work at University of Missouri. I guarantee it's going to work. And I really think that little recruiting spiel, first of all, was the truth. But I really think that really helped kids to really just maybe let's give this guy a chance. And as well as I do, you have to have and you have to have a base. And St. Louis, Kansas City, state of Missouri is hugely important for us to be successful. And that really, after that, when that was what we sold, the why it was win, why we know it's going to work, then we started getting some of the great recruits out of the state of Missouri, and did that throughout our stay here.
Yes, you did. And I think that the elite athletes and coaches and people in this business have that voice of, well, you can't do that. And that motivates them. And I hear that, you know, from looking at what Coach James did at Kent State and then you being able to repeat a lot of that at Toledo and then going to Missouri. And what a run it was, Coach. I mean, 10 bowl appearances, 6 bowl victories, I know you're extremely proud of. And I can go back to that bowl in Shreveport the first time at the Independence Bowl, and you lost the game to Arkansas, but you were there, and you had started to set something. And then that comeback against South Carolina in the Independence Bowl, that's what really got it rolling, didn't it?
Yeah, that was a crazy one there, that game. That was we weren't playing our best, and you know, then all of a sudden we get an interception in the end zone or on 1 yard line, and you know, take it to the house. Good stuff. I mean, yeah, it was took a while. I mean, we had 3 losing seasons the first 4 years, but we didn't deviate. We didn't go away from anything. In fact, what we do works. We just have to keep at it and making kids players stronger, faster, quicker. You know, developing trust. And I used to tell my coaches, don't expect our players to passionately care about Mizzou football if they don't feel like we passionately care about them. So when they find they really know that we care about them, I mean, through the good times, bad times, and when they get in trouble and all that other stuff, if they know they care, then guess what? They're going to jump on. They're going to start trusting. When you get the trust, then you take off. And it just took us because of how difficult it was at the beginning. It took us a while to get it going. But once we got all the systems in place, we started winning, and I can't name. I mean, I started naming one player. I got to name 150 players, or same way with coaches and you know, our strength and development people and our trainer. All these people, and Mike Alden. They, you know, this is part. Gary Pinkel's a part of this, okay? And you know, without all these other people, it doesn't get done. And so, you know, I represent everybody who was a part of that and thank them. And I hope they're as proud of them as I am.
Well, and I know that they are, and I know you've always been humble about that. I remember one time speaking at a recruiting event that they had me MC for Mizzou, and I praised you, and you got up to the podium, and you're like, well, that's great, but I haven't done anything yet. And then you did. You started a roll. I would never ask you for one moment over the other because there are so many, and there are probably a lot that we don't even know personal to you that felt great. But for me, watching you achieve number one in the nation, beating Kansas at Arrowhead Stadium on that cold night was incredibly special. And I think for a lot of Mizzou fans, they would agree. That was some night, wasn't it?
Oh, you really can't name a game, but you can. You know, I always tell people that. Well, I can't. I love my players, man. There's been so many great games, but I said, I always talk about the atmosphere in that game was as big an atmosphere as you're going to get in any university at any time. It doesn't get better than that at Ohio State, Michigan. It doesn't get better than that with Texas, Oklahoma. We were in that stadium that night. We had 2 great football teams play, 2 rivals play, and it'll go down one of the great nights. I remember saying my prayers, and I'd say, God, I don't know if you care who wins this or not, but I'd really like to win. So I just want good Lord to know what. What and people said, we can't ask him to win. Well, why not? If you don't want to, then that's fine. So anyway, we feel very fortunate to be a part of that. And then we kind of took off from there. And that's the neat thing about that. We really kind of took off. You know, when a champ, we were 4th that year. The next year, I think we were ended up about 17th in the nation. We won championship again. Then 2010, we had the same number of wins losses as Nebraska, I think it was, but they. I think they went that year, but we tied for the divisional championship. And then 2013, we ended up 5th in the nation, you know, and then 2013 and 2014, we did it again. So I think one of the neat things that kind of helped us in some respects is that we were doing this stuff at the Big 12 and we were winning. And now we're going, play the drums. Now we're in the SEC, yeah. And you weren't going to find out if this program is good enough. And, we went 2 championships there back-to-back in 13 and 14, which I mentioned a moment ago. And I think that as far as looking at our program, looking at our impact on, at Toledo and here on college football, I think that kind of really helped us maybe get over the hump.
Yes, I just talked to Mike Kelly about that, where I said, for me personally, you look at all of Gary's great accomplishments, going to the SEC and in short time going to back-to-back championship games was a big deal. I mean, you won five conference division titles, Gary, but going to the SEC, and you heard it as well as anybody, you could hear, Missouri's going to the SEC. I mean, this is a little bit different now, and you found a way to make an impact right away.
Yeah, that I think at the end of the day, that was kind of the stamp on our on the program, the Don James program, the Nick Saban program, the Gary Pinkel program. It stamped it as being, you know what, the other thing too. I got to add to this real quick. You know, Coach James is in the College Football Hall of Fame, and Nick Saban, I think they might let him the Hall of Fame. Sure, I'm not sure. And I'm in there, and so that, and you know, and on that same team, you know, a friend of mine at Kent State, you know, we have our championship renewed this year. We're going to have a big deal going on back in Kent, Ohio. But we really, all that winning and all that was about. There's a lot of great things that happened to that team, and so. It's kind of, you go back and then you look what happened. But, you know, Nick uses an awful lot of what Coach James did, and that's just consistency. And the reason I say this real quick, too, because this kind of proves it, he loses about four or five coaches a year. They go professionally advanced. They go become coordinators. They go to become head coaches. And he loses those guys. And guess what? He plugs them in with other people, and they don't miss a beat.
There you go, Gary Pinkel. Some really good point there at the end about how it goes with Nick Saban. And you're right, he's been a good developer of coaches that's having that system in place. And now Saban's at the point where, you know, he's got analysts on his staff that were head coaches in the NFL. We had Bill O'Brien as an analyst on his staff this year. So that's how big it's gotten there. But it's the organization, it's the structure. And, you know, I don't think we always understood how it was going to go with Gary Pinkel, but you know, it turns out it was the best thing that could have happened for Mizzou with them sticking with him. When I first moved to town in 06, there were people already kind of calling for his head. He's had enough time. And then 07 happened, and everybody's like, nope, yep, forget that. We'll let him go. All right, hang tight. We'll wrap up Sports Open Line next year on KMOX.
Use both your KMOX presets when you're in the car. 98.7 FM near the city and 1120 AM further out. Two buttons for KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
All right, get ready to wrap it up on Sports Open Line tonight. So again, tomorrow we'll have a short show, about a half an hour worth of the show. Well, it'll be a little more than that, but it'll be closer to 45 minutes. We have the women's Billikens basketball team playing tomorrow night at 7. Pregame will be at 6:45, so we'll do Sports Open Line from the 6 o'clock news all the way up to 6:45. On Thursday night, the men's game is going to play at 6, so 5:45 pregame towards the end of the Dave Glover show. And then, of course, that game will end, you know, probably 8:30 or so. And Bob Ramsey will have the postgame for you. So no Sports Open Line on Thursday. And on Friday, we'll have a full Sports Open Line. My buddy Chris Ranji is going to fill in for me on Friday. And that'll be that. It's kind of the rest of the week. I'm looking forward to the playoff matchups this weekend. And, you know, I say this all the time, but as much as I hate the league, I love the games when it comes to the NFL. And I think we have nothing but brilliant matchups this weekend. So for all the whining about the blowouts in the wild card round, which is so nonsensical because, number one, you know, you expand the playoff field by one team in each conference. You're not watering anything down. It's one freaking team. And, you know, for all those years, I mean, in the 90s and 2000s, we had nothing but blowouts in the Super Bowl. That sucks because it's a big buildup. You have a big party. And then if the game's over at halftime, although we had one that looked like it was a blowout, and thanks to the Falcons, it ended up not being one, although the wrong team won their stupid Patriots win again. But I think the ideal matchups right now for this coming week. And Vegas seems to agree, right? I mean, I mentioned this earlier, but all of the point spreads are within 5.5, 6 points. Three of the games are 3.5 points or less. You've got great storylines in there. From the Bengals and winning their first playoff game since the early 90s and now getting to go up against the number one seed in Tennessee. You've got the Niners and the Packers. How many duels did those franchises have back in the day? And now, obviously, they're very in very different positions. And that game, of course, will be outdoors in the cold at Lambeau Field in January. But that's a good matchup. I mean, the Rams going up against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, so the Super Bowl champs against one of the teams that's basically selling out to be a Super Bowl winner, right? I mean, the Rams have given up almost all of their future with draft picks and everything else to get Matthew Stafford, to get Beckham, to get all the, you know, the Von Miller, to get all the veterans that they've brought in. They basically sold the future, so they're in a win now mode, and they've got to go win down in Tampa. And I don't know that you could have a better game than Bills Chiefs. That might be the Super Bowl. The winner of that might be the team that wins it all. So I don't know. I mean, you can complain all you want about a couple of blowouts. To me, we got the best possible matchups for the divisional round. And that's going to lead to great matchups in the conference championship weekend as well. All right, you guys enjoy the rest of the night. You got George Sells coming in at your service after the top of the hour news here on KMOX.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.